Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, June 10th, 2010. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about home brewing. Well, this week, it's the evaluation of the Brew Your Own Basic Brewing Radio Irish Moss Experiment. We taste our own beers, hear lab results, and read responses from several brewers who played along with us at home. If you're new to home brewing and would like to get into the hobby for the first time, check out our website, basicbrewing.com, where you can find archives of our audio and video podcasts and our DVDs to walk you through basic and more advanced brewing techniques. And you can follow me on Twitter, my username, basicbrewing, all one word. Also, you can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/basicbrewing.james. Also, you can find our show page at facebook.com/basicbrewing. Thanks again to everybody clicking on the Amazon.com associate link on our basicbrewing.com site. Whenever you think of Amazon, think of us and click on our associate link first. It won't cost you any extra, and you'll be helping us to bring you this show. We appreciate your support greatly. We also have associate links for Brew Your Own magazine and the American Homebrewers Association on our site, too. And you can find our Basic Brewing iPhone app on the iTunes store now. And thanks to everybody who's picked one of those up. Lots of stuff to cover this week, so let's get right to it. Chris Colby and Andy Sparks couldn't join us this week, unfortunately, but Steve Wilkes was in the studio, and Blake Lyon was on the line to help answer the question, do clarifiers like Irish Moss and Whirlflock really make a difference in your homebrew? And if they do, is that difference positive or negative? Now, Blake did some evaluation of my two beers in lab. And if you want Blake to evaluate your beers or your own homegrown hops, stay tuned to the end of the interview where you'll find out how to get in touch with Blake and work out the details. Well, welcome to the Basic Brewing Studios, Steve Wilkes.
Hi, James. It's good to be here tonight on a sultry summer night in Arkansas.
You're all Tennessee Williams on me.
I am.
And then somewhere up in Iowa, we have Blake Lyon.
Glad to be back on the show.
And Blake has graciously volunteered to do some lab testing for us. You are up there at, not currently at Monmouth College, but that's where you go to school. And you usually work with Brad Sturgeon, who is usually with us, but you have done some lab testing for us, so it's not all just our palates and our noses that are trying to tell the difference between these two test beers. So what experiments did you do for us?
You sent me a couple beers and asked me to do some samples on the Irish Moss experiment. What I did was I ran the beers. I did a color test on those. And then I also checked the bitterness units of the beers to see if they were any different between the Irish Moss and no Irish Moss.
Cool. And we will delay the results of that test right now. But usually we have Andy Sparks with us. He's under the weather this evening, so he can't join us. We hope he gets to feeling better soon. And Chris Colby, editor of Brew Your Own magazine, is usually with us. But he is in the process of moving across the country.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Well, his wife got a new job up in Boston, so he's pulling up stakes from Austin and moving to a similar sounding from Austin to Boston. That's kind of a
Austin to Boston. God, put a pickle on that, and you could sell a million of them.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either, but it's working for me. Okay,
so Blake, in Chris's absence. Kind of explain to us what we're doing here. We're doing a test to see what fining agents like Irish Moss or Whirlflock do to our beers. So we've done one batch with and one batch without. So what do we usually expect from Irish Moss? What's it do for us?
I'm just going to try and recap kind of what Chris said last time when you guys talked about this experiment. And, well, Irish Moss is kind of seaweed. And it has a big, long molecule in it called carrageenan. I think I said that correctly. And basically what it does is it has a negative charge on the end of it. And what this charge does is to attract different molecules that might be in your beer, or wort, I should say, like different proteins and stuff. And what they do is they basically just kind of clump up, and as they clump up, they get heavier, then they just fall to the bottom. So,
and it is carrageenan. I've got
carrageenan.
I was actually corrected. Somebody emailed me and corrected me. So,
carrageenan.
Yes.
Okay.
So don't feel bad. Well,
thank you for correcting me.
Don't feel bad. So it sounds good. You know, if you want a clear beer, you want to get the precipitants out of the beer as soon as possible. And we can attest, Steve, can we not, that at least in the fermentation phase, Irish Moss did what it was advertised to do. What did we see in our respective beers?
Well, I was very surprised to see the difference between the two beers. And I have brewed beers both with and without Irish Moss in the past, but I guess I've never really paid a lot of attention to how they looked. But with this experiment, with them side by side, the Irish Moss less beer, the one without Irish Moss, was really cloudy and muddy. It looked like the Missouri River.
Mm.
I mean, it looked like brown river water in the Midwest. and the one with Irish Moss was clearing and relatively clear very quickly.
Right.
In my fermenter. Also, I noted in my fermentation between the two beers, the fermentation in the no Irish Moss was much more violent.
Mm.
Now, I haven't got any idea if that has anything to do with the Irish Moss or not, but that really was a difference that I saw. I had to put a blow-off tube on that carboy, where the other one was a much more controlled kind of a very British sort of fermentation. It's very mild.
Very polite.
Very polite.
But effective.
Yeah. That's right. Polite. And, yes. So anyway, that was the thing I noticed. And actually, I still noticed it at bottling time. I noticed that there was still quite a bit of difference between the two beers.
Now, we both posted pictures on our Facebook page. And if you go to facebook.com/basicbrewing and scroll down a bit, you can see those. I was amazed. I mean, the day after I pitched the yeast, I went downstairs and I looked at it and I was like, holy smokes.
Yeah.
Here you have the no Irish Moss beer, and it was just cloudy, like you said, and kind of muddy looking. And the beer with the Irish Moss had the snow globe effect.
Yeah.
You know, where you have clumps of yeast clumped together, or clumps of whatever it was, clumped
yeah.
together and swirling around in the... In the wort, in
so,
the beer.
So it was going forth and flocculating.
It was. So, and at that point, the Irish Moss beer was quite a bit darker
mm-hmm.
than, and we both did a pale ale. You did an yep. all grain, I did an extract.
Yep.
And it would be interesting to see if there's any difference between the two. But I was ready to call the experiment right there. I was like, you know, we're done. It's,
yeah.
you know. But I said, no, let's wait and see what happens. And, you know, we'll be tasting both of these batches here in just a minute. But on the day of bottling, which I believe was like 11 days after pitching, the difference between the two was much less dramatic on mine. You could still see a bit of difference in yep. the color, but as far as, you know, and I took more pictures. You can see those pictures on the Facebook page as well. But by the end of fermentation and only being in the fermenter for 11 days, I believe it was, the differences were already evening out.
Mm-hmm. I could still see quite a bit of difference between my two beers, but much less.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe, you know, I'm not sure. Mine sat on that yeast for more than 2 weeks. I'm going to say 15 or 16 days before I was able to get it in the bottle.
Hmm.
So
I just wonder if it was a difference between extract and all grain.
Who knows? Yeah.
Well, now comes a time when that I've been looking forward to. they say that, you know, the proof of the pudding is in the tasting. Well, the proof of the... I guess the clarifying agent is in the pouring of the final beers. So we have two of mine and two of yours, mm-hmm. with and without. And Blake has two of mine
yep.
up there in Iowa. And what we're going to do is we're going to take a pause, and we're going to do some sampling, and we will come back and share our results, and we will share the results of the 8 homebrewers who participated in the experiment. Despite the short time frame, 8 homebrewers took part in the experiment, and one even did 3 batches.
Wow.
So stay tuned. It won't seem like any time to you because it'll just be a little edit.
It'll be like Hogwarts time.
That's right. So prepare to go in the wall. Okay, we're back.
Some of us are. I don't know where I'm at.
We've left some of our sobriety behind, but
after an exhausting taste test.
4 hours later.
What are we on, SpongeBob?
Yeah. 4 hours later.
4 hours later. Okay.
All right.
All right. So we have tasted. We did the blind tasting.
Yep.
We did a blind tasting with my beers because I put a piece of a tape over the lid.
Right.
And you switched them around. So,
yep.
But even so, you picked out which one was the Irish Moss beer.
Yes, I did.
So you were able to determine. And you had marked your beers. One was in a shorter bottle than the other, so we couldn't do the blind tasting on that.
Right.
But I picked out the Irish Moss on your beer, so.
Yeah. So that's it. Show's over.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So what do we have to say about that?
Well, let's talk about our what we've tasted. Blake, you want to start? You've got both beers down there. I assume you didn't do a blind tasting down there. But what did you see, difference, similarities? What did you see between those two beers?
Well, the no Irish Moss beer definitely had a lot better head retention. And also, I don't know, maybe it's just my lighting down here, or maybe it's just my eyes tricking me, but it looked a hair cloudy. But I think after I let it settle out a bit in my glass, it actually cleared up, and I actually couldn't really tell a difference between the two. Realistically, unless you're looking for something, and I think in one of these two beers, you probably would never know.
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion.
So what about flavor and aroma and bitterness and such as that?
And the flavor profiles of these beers are very similar. I want to say the one with the Irish Moss was maybe just a little sweeter, maybe, I want to say. Aromas were fairly close, and mouthfeel seemed to be about the same too. I mean, it was really hard to like try and tell a difference to pick the two apart. So,
yeah, I got out of your two beers, I got that the no Irish Moss seemed to be a little smoother or rounder flavored to me. So, or another way to say that is that the ones with Irish Moss, the beer with Irish Moss, seemed to be a little brighter. The fruit flavors were a little, the hop fruit was a little brighter to me.
Huh.
So I'm trying to stay away from the word dull in terms of the without Irish Moss, but it seemed like its flavor profile was a flatter curve. It didn't have kind of a spike of flavor to me.
Mm.
Boy, I know I'm not very articulate, but that's the best I can do.
Now, we noticed here in the studio that the No Moss, and I'm calling that my Roberto Duran beer.
No Moss.
No Moss. No Moss. Boxing fans from the 80s will appreciate that.
Yeah.
One guy is laughing.
Some guy named Clyde in Michigan.
Who we'll see next week, probably.
Well, sure.
But head retention on the No Moss beer was much better. Both had a fair amount of head, but the No Moss beer was better. I thought they were so close. I mean, they were so close in flavor and aroma and bitterness that the only things I put down was that the Irish Moss beer to me in the beginning had a slight edge on the aroma. It seemed like the aroma was a little more hoppy, just a teeny tiny bit.
Yeah, I got exactly the same thing. And again, that's that kind of fruit forwardness I got from that beer.
But again, after just a couple of minutes in switching back and forth, I couldn't tell.
Yeah.
So, at least in my beer, it seemed that the Irish malt. Oh, and clarity, by the way. Oh, yeah, let's talk about clarity. Did we see much of a difference in the clarity between these two beers? Blake, did you see much of a difference?
Like I said at first, when I first poured it, I thought I saw something, but I think, like I said, after a couple minutes, it was just really just hard to tell, like, just which beer was which even.
And our beers had been out for, oh, I don't know, a little while from the fridge. Mm-hmm. So, but that's what our palates thought. Blake, what did your instruments say about my two beers?
Well, it's interesting, like, because we talk about how these beers taste pretty much almost the same, just slight differences. I did a test to see, check the bitterness units of the beers, and the No Irish Moss had IBUs of 64, and the Irish Moss had an IBU of 65. So I would say that's close enough to, like, rule out any real differences. That could have just been, like, I don't know, an effect of the boil or something, but I would rule that out as Irish Moss have any effect on the bitterness units of the beer.
And you would think that if the Irish Moss were to have an effect, it would be to decrease the bitterness instead of increasing it by one IBU, right? In theory.
Yeah, I mean, the Irish Moss, like from what I've read and what Chris said the other week, it takes like the proteins out of the beer. So you think maybe it could grab some of those isoalpha acids and pull them out too. But no, it appears to have had no effect on those.
Now, what about the color?
Now this is actually kind of interesting. I did a color analysis of the beers, and the No Irish Moss had about an SRM of about 16. While the Irish Moss beer had an SRM of about 13. So there was a little bit of a difference there, but I would have to comment personally, just by looking at it with my eye, I could not tell the difference. Without my scientific instruments, I would not be able to tell the difference.
So the instruments say that the No Irish Moss beer was a little bit darker than the beer with Irish Moss.
That's correct. Yeah.
But what we were seeing in the fermenter was that the beer with Irish Moss was darker, right, because there was a lot of yeast suspended in the No Irish Moss beer. But I mean, how big of a difference is that on those numbers?
In the actual absorbence of the initial absorbance before I put it in, like, an equation and calculated the SRMs, it was actually a pretty close number. Just real quickly about how this process works, it's pretty simple. You just you take the beer, you decarbonate it. I diluted it to about 1/10, so like 1 mL of beer and 9 mL of water, and then I just put it in the UV vis spectrometer and took an absorbance reading at 430 nanometers and put it in a calculation and then get the SRMs that way. But the initial absorbance was, I thought, like, pretty close together, but when the final calculation came out, it was just a little apart. Like, it's not, I wouldn't say it's very far apart. It's still pretty close altogether, but it's...
So the difference between 13 and 16, visually to a human eye, isn't that much. I guess that's where I'm landing at.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much. I mean, like I said, just looking at these two, I could not tell the difference between the two.
Right. So, probably to me, the bigger question was on the bitterness. I mean, the color of the beer, if it shifts a little bit, is not as important to me as if Irish Moss is going to be absorbing bitterness out of my IPA and dropping it onto the tube. And it appears that that's not happening. So, Steve, what about your beers? We looked at your beers, and it was pretty – now, these beers haven't been in the bottle very long, but the head retention on the Irish Moss beer seemed to be a little better.
Yeah, I thought it was quite a bit better, actually.
So it was reversed.
Mm-hmm. You know, my take on them was all the way down the line, the beer that used Irish Moss, I thought was a more interesting and better beer.
Mm.
I thought it had better head retention. I thought it was somewhat more clear.
Mm-hmm.
It was darker. Yes, it was a darker color. I felt like it was a little more complex. The biscuitiness of it, the recipe has 10 pounds of Golden Promise, 1 pound of Victory, 1 pound of 20 Level Bond Crystal. That's the malt build. I felt like it was a little more biscuity, a little more rich than the beer that did not have the Irish Moss. Having said that, if I didn't have them side by side, I'm certain I couldn't tell the difference.
Right. Yeah. Again, but it's interesting because I did an extract beer, you did an all grain beer.
Mm-hmm.
Your beer with the Irish Moss was noticeably more clear.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because it was more clear, in other words, more yeast had dropped out.
Yeah.
I think it was darker.
Yeah.
So there was a difference between the two beers.
Definitely.
As far as clarity was concerned. I put down that the Irish Moss beer was a bit cleaner.
Yeah.
And the no Irish Moss beer was a little bit sweeter. But again, very, 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 very small differences between the two.
Right. And I think for full disclosure, I want to point out that when I made these beers and I broke the wort in half, so I made the – since it's an all grain, I had to do the first runnings and second runnings, and then I had to break them into two different boils, that I ended up with two different volumes of beer at the end, off by about a half a gallon. So, whatever difference that would contribute, I actually have more of the no Irish Moss beer than the Irish Moss beer by 4 or 5 bottles.
So that may...
So, yeah, if that contributed to any differences, I just want to disclose that. I'm not sure that it did, but perhaps it did.
So that may account for a little bit more bitterness in the Irish Moss beer since there was less wort.
That's right.
So,
yeah.
But the clarity is you can't.
Can't argue with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So those are our beers.
What do our listeners have to say? Our fellow experimenters.
And let's try to keep track here of what the extract brewers say and what the all-grain brewers say.
Yeah.
Because it could be that the difference, Irish Moss makes a bigger difference on all-grain beers than extract.
Yeah.
So let's start with Matt Wide up in Minneapolis, who we may see next week.
Yep. Along with Clyde from Michigan.
Now, Matt made an extract Belgian pale ale, and I don't want to go through all the details of each brewing session, or we'll be here all night. But we have one batch with Irish Moss and one batch without. He says... Batch A, non-Irish Moss, was darker.
Hmm.
Batch A, non-Irish Moss, had a fluffy, long-lasting off-white head. So head retention with him was more without the Irish Moss.
Mm-hmm.
Batch B, Irish Moss, was more transparent. The clarity was not remarkable, but it was there. So, again, he says that it was more clear. I could not sense any notable difference in flavor or aroma. He says, while Irish Moss did not do a great job, I found it did help. If used in concert with other haze reducers, Irish Moss is a good item to have in your haze-reducing cocktail. However, the minor reduction in haze does not justify the cost or lack of head retention.
Ooh.
Interesting. So, again, he is an extract brewer. So he saw a minor difference in clarity. Tony Milner from Wallasey in the UK.
I'd say so.
Did a hoppy pale ale. He says he did a – oh, he gets the gold star for extra effort because he did one batch with Irish moss.
Yeah.
One batch with Protoflock.
Hmm.
A Protoflock tablet.
You know, they've got those in grade schools now.
And Protoflock?
Yeah, Protoflock.
That's if you have trouble paying attention in class.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And then one without either. So,
okay.
He says, striking difference immediately after initially filling fermenter. C, the control stays fairly murky with just a very fine precipitant falling out very slowly over days, which is what
That's
we saw.
Exactly what we saw.
The Irish moss immediately forms a heavy, clumpy precipitant that snows down to form a layer about an inch deep over the course of an hour. The cleared liquid above is significantly darker than C, the control.
Mm-hmm.
The protoflock also forms a heavy precipitate, but a much more gelatinous one, which settles less, giving a less solid 3-inch deep layer after an hour. However, the liquid left above is darker and clearer than A, the Irish moss.
Hmm.
So the protoflock was clearer than the Irish moss,
mm-hmm.
which was clearer than the no control, but the Irish moss left more trube than the control, and the mm-hmm. protoflock left more trube than the Irish moss.
I wonder if the protoflock is a
it may be like whirlflock, which is the tablets.
Yeah. Okay.
By the end of fermentation, the difference is still obvious. Protoflock is clearest. Irish moss is next best, with the control being the only one fully opaque. Correspondingly, the depth of sediment in the bottom is greater in the clearer batches, B, A, C, about double the previous. So it seems that the more benefit you get with the clarity, the more stuff you have at the bottom of the fermenter.
Mm-hmm.
It says the difference after 2 weeks in the bottle is much less noticeable than when bottling. Whilst I would normally be happy with the clarity of the control, it is slightly cloudy, particularly paired with B, the protoflock, which is sparklingly clear.
Hmm.
The Irish moss A is intermediate, but the differences are slight. I couldn't reliably pick out any differences without looking as far as the flavor, bitterness, and aroma. So the flavor, bitterness, and aroma are basically the same.
Mm-hmm.
So, in conclusion, Tony says, not having used either clearing agent before, so this is the first time for him, he was surprised how much difference there was evident at the start of fermentation. The difference in the final products was far less striking, particularly for the Irish moss. The protoflock gives the best result, but was much more difficult to rack from, leading to significantly more wastage.
Mm-hmm.
So he says he lost nearly a pint with the protoflock. So, you know, do you want more cloudy, slightly more cloudy beer, or do you want less, more clear beer?
Yeah.
Essentially. Now we go to St. Louis, Missouri, with George Helfers, who did a Duvel clone.
Oh.
So, and this is, he used Whirlflock, which is, I guess,
I've never used.
I haven't either. It may be the American equivalent. this is a beer that's kind of in progress because a Duvel clone, you know, takes a lot longer time to mature than what we allowed. He says the Whirlflock batch has a slightly darker, more copper color than the other batch.
Mm-hmm.
And this is also the previous one. Previous one was an all grain batch. So,
and this is all grain?
And this is all grain as well. So he did see more more clarification in the all-grain batch.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see. The Whirlflock batch has a slightly darker color. The clarity difference was very slight, but I would say the Whirlflock batch has cleared a small amount more than the other. So he plans to bottle at some point. And then it'd be interesting to see how this shapes out over time. I'm tasting at cellar temperature without carbonation, so my impressions are most likely to differ from the final polished product in a few months. The Whirlflock batch is slightly smoother with a subtle fruity sweetness. The other batch has a more pronounced hop bitterness with perhaps some vegetal character and drier on the palate. It also has a more yeasty aroma. So, in his conclusions, as much as I tried to make everything the same for the experiment, invariably there were a few differences that I think might have influenced the results. The boil kettles and different shaped fermenters, he said. That being said, I do think the Whirlflock made some difference, especially in regards to the amount of yeast sediment and hop harsh bitterness. So he said that there was a difference, but it'd be interesting to see how that shapes out over time.
Mm-hmm.
John Greener from Nampa, Idaho. This is interesting because he had a similar experience to you. This is another all-grain batch,
mm-hmm.
With Irish moss and without. Fermentation started in both by the next morning. By the second day of fermentation, the yeast in the without batch appeared to be in suspension, creating a more milky appearance. So again, that sounds familiar. The with batch looked clear, with the yeast more aggregated and floating throughout the batch. Again,
yep.
Sounds real familiar.
Yep.
The Croizen for the without batch produced more volume and seemed creamier in appearance. The Croizen for the with batch had brown chunkies sitting on the Croizen.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I found.
Well, there you go.
Yep.
By the third day, the without batch had started pushing Croizen through the blow-off tube, where the with batch never pushed Croizen through the tube. So he had a blow-off without Irish moss, and so did you.
Mm-hmm.
Color differences. Okay, here we go. Color differences. None noted, and we looked hard many times. The with batch seemed to have three times more head, and head retention for both seemed about the same. So, again, like you, which makes me wonder if you blew out some of the head producing or head retention stuff in the blowout tube.
Could be.
I don't know. Describe any differences in clarity. None noted. So he didn't notice any difference in clarity. And flavor, bitterness, and aroma, both batches seemed the same in all three categories. And his conclusions, John's conclusions, Irish moss seemed to allow for more head production. It would be interesting to know if the without batch would have had the same amount of head if it had not pushed the Croizen out of the carboy during primary fermentation. So
mm-hmm.
That's an interesting point. And don't worry, I've got a little wrap-up at the end of this. If you're not keeping score. Doug Zobel in Oak Park, Illinois, did an American wheat. He did an all-grain batch. One with Irish moss, one without. He says, the boil kettle and gravity sample showed a big difference in protein coagulation with batch B, with Irish moss, clearing faster and having more tube. These were fermented in buckets, so I couldn't see much activity during fermentation. After racking to kegs, batch A, no Irish moss, had a thin, runny tube, while batch B, with Irish moss, had a thicker, chunky tube matter.
Whew.
Yeah, that, more fiber.
It reminds me. Yeah. I'm not going there, though.
Because I beat you to it.
Yeah.
Color differences. Both were a pale straw color. Again, this is an American wheat. Batch B with Irish moss appeared a little darker. Batch A, no Irish moss, was lighter in color, probably due to the suspended proteins.
Mm-hmm.
Batch A, no Irish moss, seemed to have a slightly thicker head that lasted just a little longer. Although both samples were hazy, there was unanimous agreement. Oh, he had a taste panel. He and three brewing partners tasted these. There was unanimous agreement that batch B with Irish moss was noticeably more clear. Batch A, no Irish moss, was opaque, while you could see through batch B with Irish moss. Batch A, no Irish moss, had a stronger and fuller aroma, which was described as more fruity and having brighter citrus notes. Batch B with Irish moss came across as sweeter, while batch A, no Irish moss, seemed to have slightly more hop bitterness and finished drier. He says he was surprised at the dramatic effect on the clarity and the coagulation in the cooled wort even before pitching. The final beers showed a noticeable difference in clarity, as was expected. I was surprised to find that the Irish Moss batch had a noticeable loss in flavor along with increase in clarity. Up to this point, I've used Irish Moss in every batch. However, I will cut back on its use in the future for beers where subtle flavors are more important than clarity.
And I'm sorry, this is the wheat beer?
This is the American wheat.
Yeah, and so that's what I'm thinking, that, you know, you've got a beer that is a very subtle beer.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, okay.
So, yeah, maybe if you've got a hoppy beer, maybe it won't matter as much because it doesn't affect the bitterness. Jerry Morawski up in Oak Creek, Wisconsin, he's a repeat performer here in these, as are some of these others probably. And I'm, but Jerry, but Jerry's
a second time offender.
Jerry's on Twitter. So, I remember Jerry. He did a pale ale, and this is an extract, and boy, look at all the hops.
Yeah.
Glacier, ooh. Cascade. He did no Irish Moss and Irish Moss. Both batches began fermentation rather quickly. The no Moss beer developed a nice creamy croissant. It was lighter in color over the Irish Moss beer due to the particulate matter in suspension. The Irish Moss beer developed a croissant with a top layer of dark gunk, which seems to be a recurring theme. Mm-hmm. This beer was darker in color due to the particulate matter settling out. After 3 days, the Irish Moss beer had a good layer of material on the bottom of the carboy and also had matter collecting on the sides of the carboy. The No Moss beer did have some material on the bottom of the carboy, but not on the sides. I could see a color difference. The Irish Moss beer darker than the No Irish Moss. So let's get down into the final product.
Okay.
During initial fermentation, the Irish Moss beer was noticeably darker. At the end of fermentation, both beers were similar in color, which is what I ran across.
Yeah.
In the bottle, clear, he says, clear bottle, and tasting glass, the No Moss beer is a tad darker than the Irish Moss beer. Interesting.
Say that again.
The No Irish Moss beer is just a tad darker than the Irish Moss beer. So kind of backwards from the fermenter. Although the difference is slight, the opposite of when the beers were in the fermenters. He says these beers didn't have too much time in the bottle to condition. The Irish Moss beer was moderately carbonated and the foam dissipated quickly. The non-Irish Moss beer was slightly more carbonated. The foam remained over the surface of the beer much longer than the Irish Moss beer. Both beers were clear in the glass. The only noticeable difference was the slight color difference, as previously mentioned. So he didn't see much of a difference in clarity.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I tried to notice differences in aroma, bitterness, and flavor, I honestly couldn't detect anything. The only difference other than color would be mouthfeel. The No Irish Moss beer had more body than the Irish Moss beer. The Irish Moss beer seemed thin and watery.
Hmm.
So, interesting.
Yeah.
So, his conclusion is that in the fermenters, the difference was clear, clearly visible. In the glass, however, his preference was for the No Irish Moss beer. It ended up being a tad darker than the Irish Moss beer. It had better foam retention than the Irish Moss beer, and the mouthfeel was noticeable. Otherwise, the aroma, bitterness, and flavor of the two beers were indistinguishable. So, interesting.
Yeah.
He says, in the end, if you forget to add your fining agent, it's no big deal. Time will clear your beer. I'm rethinking of my use of fining agents in my pale ales due to the difference in mouthfeel. Otherwise, the slight difference in color and no detectable difference in aroma, bitterness, and flavor indicate that in a pale ale, the use of fining agent doesn't make that much of a difference. Interesting. Two more. We have Zot O'Connor in Seattle, Washington. He did an extract beer and American pale ale. He says the color differences looks very close, but cloudiness makes the second one. In other words, the The second one is without Irish moss. The second one looked lighter, much better head retention in the Irish moss beer, no foam in the second.
Hmm.
He says, the bubbles in the first beer, the Irish moss beer, are damn near perfect. the first beer is much cleaner, so the Irish moss did make a difference in this extract beer. Mm-hmm. Second is cloudy, noticeably. And I just wonder if the amount of hops that I put in my beer made a difference in the cloudiness, the fact that it wasn't able to clear that out. He said the taste is very close, no real differences. However, the first one with the better carbonation feels better. So, two big differences. Second beer's Trub and yeast cake after the primary was far bigger than I remember. Seems to want 1.5 to 2 times as much. So without Irish moss, bigger Trub. The second beer had more hop material after the second dry hopping and secondary. So, interesting. One more. Adam Ross from Davenport, Iowa. A special slash best slash premium bitter. An all-grain beer. This is with Whirlflock, not Irish moss, but Whirlflock. Said in the Carboys there was a definite color difference. The no Whirlflock was a few shades lighter than the Whirlflock.
Mm-hmm.
In the glass, you could still peck out the differences, but it wasn't as dramatic. The no Whirlflock had a nice creamy head, but probably too much head for this beer. the Whirlflock had a thin head that dissipated quickly. It said, in the clarity, night and day differences. The Whirlflock was brilliantly clear and looked perfect for the clone of this beer that he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
The no Whirlflock was murky, cloudy, and unappealing. He said, I just watched The Goonies, and in the scene in the Fratelli's restaurant, one of the Goonies orders a glass of water. The beer looks like that. Very unappealing. So we'll have to go to The Goonies. And Blake, are you familiar with The Goonies?
Oh, yes.
Would you drink that?
No.
He says, I like my beer to be as clean and clear as possible without hurting the flavor. I use Whirlflock for most of my beers with the exception of purposefully cloudy wheats. As I suspected, adding Whirlflock makes a difference. I just didn't know it would be this big of a difference. If I ordered a pint of each at a pub and then ordered a third, it would probably be the Whirlflock. The cloudiness and yeasty over-complexity of a no-Whirlflock just isn't appealing to me. And again, that was bitter. So there we go. So what does that boil down to? Well, here we go. I did a little tabulation here.
Ooh, I see, on my I see yellow pad. Scratch marks on the yellow pad. Very high tech here, basic brewing.
Okay. Which beer was darker? We have, and this some of these not everybody reported these particular things. So these numbers don't all add up to 8. Darker, the Irish Moss gets 4 votes. For being darker, no Irish moss, 2, and no difference, 2.
Okay.
So it would appear that Irish moss may make the beer a little darker. More clear, 6 voted that the Irish moss made it more clear.
Okay.
Nobody voted for the no Irish moss beer being more clear, and then 2 said that there was no difference.
Okay.
So as far as clarity, it seems to do the job.
Right.
No surprise there, probably. Head retention. 2 said that the Irish moss beer had better head retention.
Uh-huh.
4 said that the no Irish moss beer had better head retention. And then 1 said that there was no difference.
Uh-huh.
Flavor. And this is a tricky one because I kind of had to interpret sometimes.
Yeah.
2 said that they like the Irish moss beer better. None said that they like the no moss better. And then 5 said no difference. So I may have to go back and check my figures on that. But most people said that there was no difference. So aroma, 1 Irish moss, 1 no moss, 4 no difference. And bitterness, 2 said no moss was more bitter Two said no difference. And then on mouthfeel, one voted for the Irish Moss beer, two for the No Moss. And when I say Irish Moss on this, I mean clarifying agents. So
yeah.
If they use Whirlflock or Protoflock instead. So just looking at the hash marks here, it looks like Irish Moss will give you a darker, more clear beer. And it looks like that people, the majority of people, can't really tell a difference between flavor and aroma on the beers. So, but it looks like head retention may give a slight nod to the No Moss.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. So if you want to stack the odds in your favor of having a really, really great head retention on the beer, you might want to skip the fining agent.
Mm-hmm.
If clarity and is really important to you, then you might want to go with the fining agent. I mean, what I'm getting out of all of this is that it really is up to you whether to use it or not. There's no overwhelming reason why you'd say, oh, my God, yes, you really need to use Irish Moss or a fining agent. Say, like with water. Yeah, you really need to use water when you make beer. You know, it's kind of really important.
Yeah, I guess we should qualify that in the more clear category, where there were six people that said it was more clear, at least half of those said it was a slight difference.
Right.
So.
And then also I'm getting from this that we're treating the clarifying agent not simply as a kind of afterthought that might make your beer a little prettier. We're considering it as an ingredient
mm-hmm.
that affects the flavor.
Right.
And everybody, I think, is pretty careful, and we're splitting a lot of hairs in terms of its differences. But I think we can all agree that there were some differences. Boy, you know, this is, you know.
I mean, it did have an effect. I mean, you and I both saw in the fermenter it had a pretty much immediate effect on the beer. Now, here at the table, looking – and if we were just to see my beer, we would say, don't bother.
Yeah.
No. But looking at your beer is noticeably clearer, mm-hmm. and it's not as hoppy as mine, so maybe that's it. But we actually preferred the flavor of your Irish Moss beer, and it was a bit clearer.
Yeah. Based on the experiment that I did, if I only had my results, I would use Irish Moss.
Well, there you go.
So.
What do you think, Blake?
Yeah, I'd probably have to agree with Steve there.
I do most of the time. Yeah, I think that if you – I mean, maybe if I were making a wheat beer,
yeah,
obviously, where you want it to be cloudy, like the American wheat,
right?
Then you leave it out. But obviously, it does make it – I mean, if you look at the photos on our Facebook page – It does have an effect. I mean, it's not something that has a placebo effect. You know,
right.
I didn't expect the visual difference in the fermenter to be as dramatic as it was. I mean, here lately, I've been forgetting to add Irish Moss in my beers, and my beers have been coming out fine.
Yeah,
but to see the action in the fermenter. Was striking to me. So,
yeah.
I guess the bottom line with all of these experiments is try it yourself.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, really. And I do like the thought of the making a wheat beer or, you know, some kind of a cloudy farmhouse ale or something like that. I had never thought of it like that. So I think – so getting back to my little speech about as an ingredient,
mm-hmm.
that I'm really beginning to think of a fining agent, again, not just as an afterthought that, oh, this will make it a little clearer, a little prettier, that it really could affect the flavor, and particularly with a cloudier style or like the fellow that wanted the really bright, mm-hmm. clear beers, okay, then, you know, there's a reason to do that.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Well, this is going to be the we're not going to do Basic Brewing Radio next week because we'll be off somewhere else. We'll be in Minneapolis.
Woo!
Hopefully seeing some of you guys out there, guys and gals. And then after that, usually we take June off from the podcast. I think this year we'll take July off.
That sounds good.
Because my family vacation is going to be in July this year, and I've got some weddings to go to and all that. So I think July will be the dry month this year. So just mark your calendars.
Get out your Sharpies.
Well, Blake, I definitely appreciate your help with the results. And we want to say that you are offering your services for homebrewers out there who want to have their beers analyzed. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
How would they get a hold of you to have them send their beers to you?
The easiest way would just be to email me at blyon@monm.edu. It's my school email. Through there, like I have more details written out, but I don't want to take up too much time on the show here. So you can just email me. I can do right now. I can do like bitterness of beers. I can do color of beers. I can even do hops. If you home grow your own hops, I can figure out the alpha acid content of your hops. So you can send me that too. If any other questions, just email me and I'll get back to you.
So say that email one more time.
It's just blyon@monm.edu or blyon@monm.edu.
Excellent. Well, we hope to send some homebrewers your way.
Yeah.
Because I know that there are a lot of folks out there who are wanting to figure out that kind of thing. So, excellent. Well, I appreciate your help with this, Blake, and hopefully we can work together on a cool experiment in the future.
Well, thanks for having me, and thanks for letting me analyze your beers for you and drink some of them, too.
That always helps. Yeah. And thank you, Steve.
You're welcome, James.
Well, thanks again to Steve and Blake. After listening to that recording session again, I think I'll leave the Irish Moss out of my really hoppy beers and my wheat beers, but I'm going to put them back in my list of ingredients for all the other beers and see what happens. It sure was fun to see the differences in the fermenters in person, and I'll post a link to a PDF of pictures of our fermentations in the description of this episode on basicbrewingradio.com for those of you without Facebook accounts, and I'll include the PDF in the iPhone app as an extra. How about that? If you're going to be in Minneapolis next week for the National Homebrewers Conference, you'll be seeing and hearing us. Otherwise, you won't, because we're taking the week off from posting shows next week. We plan to return with lots of goodies for you. In the meantime, if you have brewing questions, show suggestions, or just want to say howdy, write to james@basicbrewing.com or just fill out the contact form on basicbrewing.com, and please don't forget to tell us where you're from. Check out our homebrewing DVDs, Introduction to Extract Home Brewing, Stepping into All Grain, Low-Tech Lagering and Decoction Mashing, and Introduction to Wine Kits. We've got combo deals on our site to save you a few bucks if you want to buy more than one DVD at a time. And you can see a listing of the fine folks across the country who sell our DVDs on basicbrewing.com. And if there isn't a vendor in your area, you can order them online in our online shop at basicbrewingshop.com. Thanks to everybody who's continued to click on our Amazon.com link. We appreciate the support there. Our featured products this week that were purchased through the link are Hoover Steam Vac Carpet Cleaner with Clean Surge. And, are you ready? Cornhole Bags, Set of 8 by SC Cornhole. That is a game where you toss bags into this board with holes in it. It's a real thing. Thanks again, everybody. And remember, I can't tell who bought what, so no worries there. Just click on the Amazon.com logo the next time you feel like Amazon shopping. We appreciate your support. And you can find the associate links to the American Homebrewers Association and Brew Your Own magazine on our site, too. That's all until next week. Until then, thanks for listening. Oh, next week. Next 2 weeks. Next week in Minneapolis. I'm James Spencer. Production help for Basic Brewing Radio and our website is provided by our buddy Kelly Dotson down in Austin, Texas. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voicing. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. So long.